Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com 5 days a week. Download all the archives there, and if you have a radio station of your own, whether that be on the internet or AM FM stations, just give me a bell and you've got automatic permission to publish and broadcast any of these shows that you want. Hey, take if you want to download them off of the YouTube channel, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, you can do that as well, and you can edit and then cut them and then re-upload them, and just, you know, it's all free for all, man. It's just information, and it is very valuable, and the fact of the matter is I can't get it all out by myself, so I require other people to do so. In just in support of basically the mission that we're accomplishing here. So, other than that, please remember, this is a listener-supported broadcast, lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. So go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and if it is possible, start up an automatic payment directly into that KiwiBank account number that is available. All of those regular contributions and donations are the thing that keep the lights on, the rent paid, and the internet paid, and simply just give me the time and the effort that I need. So I can just conduct the interviews, edit all the archives, and upload them for people. That's all I ask, is do the right thing for me, because I'm just doing the right thing for everybody else, with or without your payments. that's kind of what I started doing. And now it is starting to get a lot better. We're going to be having an assistant come in the studio, even so much as early as today, to come and help me with all of these things. So it's chugging along. It's growing. The site's very, very popular. The YouTube channel is the most popular YouTube news channel in New Zealand, even more popular than all of the mainstream media channels practically combined. So, you know, there is one person who you can support, who you know will support all the wide spectrum of activism that we have going on in New Zealand and around the world. That's me. So please do so. And I've tell you, I very much appreciate the ability to just expose a bit of scumbaggery and not have to, you know, listen to somebody bark out orders at me or tell me what I can and can't publish. That's kind of nice. My very special guest today is still Chris Wardell. Welcome back. Now, may I ask you, Chris, I mean, were you like me in that you believed everything the government said and everything was all honky-dory before they started messing with you and had that rude awakening, or?
I thought that, I used to think that they at least had a brain to, you know, to let, you know, to live and let live without intentionally trying to hurt people. But nah, now I couldn't trust them as far as I could kick them.
Well, what is it about government that makes people so fanatical about supporting it and giving it the benefit of the doubt? Because I'm sure you've noticed this. You'll go up and you tell something to a person, and you've got evidence, it's documented it, but they can't believe it. It's not like they just don't believe it, it's that they can't. Because, oh, this loving government who cares for me from cradle to grave would never ruthlessly enslave and exterminate people. No. That's just not possible. Even though it's got the evidence there, it's fear-mongering. If you've got evidence for it, it's fear-mongering, and it's therefore untrue.
Yeah, that's what they don't like. Oh, they don't like evidence. Like, just everything I've said to them, and that, you know, it's like, you know, they got the. They got the idea, like, oh, you know, like, oh, he cares, you know. We don't care, you know. You're in the system now. Like, when I went to the Alexander Court and I talked to, what's her name, Christine Ford there, and I said to her, what is all this, you know? Can I just get it all just thrown out and get on with my life? And she says, oh, no. The, you've got to wait until the until the wheels of justice have done their turn. And I thought, mate, I'm stuck in the cogs, and I'm getting munched up, you know. So from now, I don't trust them at all anymore. I used to think that maybe they would be there to help people and that, but all they've done is try to damage, you know. And to that, they get the middle finger salute, you know.
What is it that we can really do about this, though, Chris? I mean, at the end of the day, they're holding all the keys to all the doors. Somebody's got to fight them. Somebody's got to expose them. Somebody's got to bring them to justice. But the problem is, the only thing that usually is currently in the position to bring justice to people is the justice system, which does not give anybody justice except the criminals.
Well, New Zealand needs like an independent, you know, body, you know, that doesn't work for the government, you know, they're independent, you know, that goes and, you know, exposes them, prosecutes them if need be, and it's for people now, you know, because they don't, you know, because they don't work for themselves, they're supposed to be working for the people, and, you know, and having transparency instead of all these court cases going on, you know, that are connected, you know, sort of disassociating them so people can't find out, you know, and using the media and the police and the courts and SIS and the lawyers and, you know, they're all in on it, for, you know, because they all look after each other's backs and they go, oh, no, my friend's a lawyer. And you got evidence against him. Well, I'm not going to help you because you'll hurt my corrupt friend.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They've got loyalty to corruption because they know that they're probably in on it themselves in a small way. It's like, well, why didn't you come forward with this evidence earlier? Well, basically it's because I'm corrupt and I approve of corruption and I don't really give a frack about anybody else other than my own pocketbook. And if all of my friends are corrupt and they give me heaps of corrupt money, I don't really want to turn them in because it'll make my pocketbook get light.
Yeah, it's like when Tim Cadogan, like, ripped us off and quit. Like soon after that, soon after my court thing, when the court said, your daughter's going up to Kurereri for Christmas and gonna hang out with Christopher Martin Emanuel on the Sensible Sentencing Trust and all the other bros and that there. Soon after that, Tim Cadogan was appointed disputes judge. If you Google him and Google Tim Cadogan disputes judge, you'll see that from all the shit he's done, the courts actually awarded him. And Kieran Tohill of Botkins, he says to me, because I had him up about it, and he says to me that Tim has many disgruntled clients, and I need a QC to sort it out, but that QC seems to have the guts or the balls or the brains to actually, to do the job. It's like, it's like they like to throw people down the toilet and flush it, you know?
It's just a lack of compassion just in general, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm. Well, I recall what Russell Malcolm told me is that when he was going to, he had a bit of a dispute with the council about getting consents for his properties that he was developing and so on and so forth. You know, it should be a very simple process, wham bam, thank you man, but it was just going on for years kind of thing, they were asking him to bribe them so that they would approve his applications, like, literally. And what occurred to me is, and what occurred to him is that they were doing it deliberately and maliciously, and they didn't care that it was making him sick. They didn't care that it was part and parcel of destroying his business, his mental health, his physical health, and all of that kind of thing. They just didn't care in the least. They just go ahead and do what they're doing because they think they're going to make some money out of it. Now, what occurs to me is that money can really unequivocally corrupt people. Okay? Money doesn't corrupt some people, but it does corrupt a lot of people. Or at least this is what my conclusion is. And how exactly are we supposed to live in a society where money basically gets you anything except common decency?
Well, these people who are corrupt, well, they obviously trampled on a few bones to get, you know, to get where they are, and they're pretty heartless bunch. It takes a certain heartless prick to be corrupt.
And how long has this actually been affecting you, Chris?
Well, my wife died on my daughter's second birthday, and soon after that, it all began.
So how long, all up?
It was almost 8 years.
8 years of this kind of crap that you're dealing with.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so open to bring it all out into the open. If it was a month and they say, you know, and they'd have said, "Oh, sorry, we messed up. Sorry about that." You know, I would have just let it rest, but you know, they dragged me through all that, all the crap. Not even as much as an apology from any of them or anything. So I thought, well, stuff ya. People need to know.
Well, do you want to name names? Throw a few people under the bus then?
Oh, yeah.
Go for your life, son.
Okay, there's Tim Cadogan. He's a thief. He's a con man. He's just a heartless prick. He's now a disputes judge, but I'm not allowed to take him to court because he's a disputes judge, and I'm banned from the courts, too.
So you're not allowed to dispute a disputes judge?
No, because he's all high and mighty and that, he parks in the free car park in town, man. You know, all day, he leaves his car there all day. You know, and there's Barbara Collis of Kutiriri, or Potiki. She runs the Kutiriri Marae. She runs other child organisations. Her husband died, so Ms. Collis should actually know what it's like to lose somebody and not want to be affected. But she's just a heartless, excuse the language, bitch. But and there's Michael Davidson. He Christchurch. He's the child psychologist. He doesn't have the brains or the balls to get up and say, "No, Your Honour, they didn't see through the meeting. They did leave, and they were on in the press and that, you know, something like, because I know he reads the newspapers, because I've seen him read them, and, there's Nikki Borham of Alexander Suffs. She's evil. She will sit there and let Tim or any of her mates do whatever they want, and she'll just sit there. And if you, she was calling up the house here, right? And I just happened to pick up the phone one day, whilst, at the same time somebody else picked the phone up. from another phone, and I picked it up, and she and I heard her say, "Hello, Nikki Borham here." And I says to her, "What do you want?" And she didn't say anything for about 30 seconds and hung up. So I thought, well, you're not welcome here anyways, so don't darken our doorstep again. And I told her boss that, because I rang SIPSIP and told them that, you know, to tell her never to darken my doorstep ever again. And, who else is he? There's Nicola Williams of Dunedin. She was my daughter's lawyer. She pretty much met my daughter twice, tried to get me to sign a paper saying, yes, I want my child to be removed every Christmas and holidays when it suits them. And who else is there? There's Dave Greaves. He's the stomping policeman. And his monkey mate, they wouldn't give me his name, so I have no idea what his monkey mate's name is. What's all the other names?
It sounds like they've brought an entire army against you, Chris.
Oh, they have. Well, Chris isn't going to play ball with us. You know, we've never met anybody like him. Because I've been told that heaps of times, though, that I'm the only person like I am who people have met. And, because I wasn't going to play their game by their rules, like in New Zealand, you're not allowed to say, "Get lost, leave me alone." You do that, they're gonna grab all their leech mates and all come around and like mosquitoes and start sucking you dry, you know.
It occurs to me that this is something again, it happens to so many people, and it's part of a global syndicate. I think. What is it about these people? There's a group. A syndicate, I think, is probably the word that best describes how these people work. And it works with multiple departments simultaneously that all react to protect each other. It's kind of like a suit of armor that has many layers in it. So, like tank armor, for instance, you have a reactive layer on the outside of tank armor that actually explodes when it's shot. And that explosion deflects any penetrating power of whatever weapon you're shooting at it generally. It's called reactive armor. So that seems to be the first line of defense that these people do. You're attacking us. Okay, boom, we're gonna smack you with this. And then they send the cops around to your house and what have you. And then there's a layer of armor beneath that, which is angular. So it's much, much more difficult to actually pierce through armor that is on a angle rather than armor that's straight, if you know what I mean. And because that represents more or less the court system, they're skewed to the side so that you can't actually penetrate their scumbaggery, right? And beneath that, there's some other kind of armor, and I think this is actually almost like a feedback, is that once you have attempted to pierce and penetrate through to the underside of this armor, then the realization hits you that what you're dealing with, even underneath all its layers of armor, is even more impenetrable than you thought in the first place, and you don't even know what's beneath it. Right? Is that something that you can vibe with? That we don't actually really know at the very core what it is that we're even trying to destroy here when we're trying to destroy this pedophile scumbag ring?
Oh, I see it like peeling an onion. You know, you peel the onion, you know, you peel the outside of it, and then you get to all the stuff that makes you teary-eyed, and you peel that one, and the more you delve into it, you know, the more teary-eyed you get, and that's, you know, and what's in the middle is that is that long oblong piece, you know, which is the system, you know, and they've even sugarcoated that, so you know, with toffee or something, so you can't even get through that to get to the middle part, you know, to get to the source of the problem. You know, it's all just to cover each other's backs and one another, you know, to protect.
It's like a shell game.
Yeah, it is, right? And they keep moving the posts and that sort of thing, eh? You know, and if you get through the toffee coated thing, which I think around the centerpiece, then they just, I don't know, then they just build licorice or something else around it, you know.
It's a little Hansel and Gretel witch house, you know, like in the middle of the woods or something, and nobody can seem to find it. And even if they do find it, they don't seem to be able to make their way back from it. It gets you, roasted in the oven, alive, yeah. Surrounded by candied treats.
Yeah, it's like a Venus flytrap, you know. You gotta check it out, you know. You gotta check out, you know, get all the info you can on it, and you're stuck there. And, you know, and their mates come in, and, you know, and their Mozzie mates all come in with all their legal jargon, and start slowly picking you to bits and sucking your juices dry from your brain, you know. It's just, you know, and meanwhile, the person that rules all them, you know, is like that hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil person with no blindfold, no plugs in their ears, and big thing of tape around their mouths, you know, so they can sit there all comfy and warm and safe without having to even explain the consequences of what they're actually doing, you know, to anybody, because they're just the law unto themselves, you know, they make the rules themselves, and they change the rules as they go along to suit themselves, and it's just a game of ha ha, you can't touch us.
It's like they're trying to wear you down and make you give up and or commit suicide.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were trying to do to me. But apart from that one time taking an overdose, you know, I'm pretty strong now, and I don't really let government people on our property anymore. I told them to slim their hook.
Have you lost sensitivity to this? Like, did it hurt more when it initially happened to how it goes now, because you've learned how to kind of cope with the pain and just deal with it? Or is it still just as bad today as it was when it first began?
Well, that's a tricky one, actually, because some days I have really, really good days, and some days, you know, I wake up with it all in my head, you know, but I'm getting better now, where I'm actually waking up more feeling like, you know, feeling better about myself instead of like, oh, you know, you bastards, you know, because I wake up like that for like ages, eh? And it's only like over the last, probably 6 months that I've actually started to feel better. But the pain is still there. I still feel very betrayed and let down and double-crossed and shit on and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, but they won't win, mate, because hey, I won't let them.
Do you find that to be an empowering state of being, that you exist not to get victory for yourself but to prevent victory for them?
I just feel good that the whole thing's out the way, and they can't throw it at me anymore and say, well, we want you to come back to family court and your daughter to go here and there and that sort of stuff, because it just won't happen, because they've burnt the wick, mate, but there isn't no wick left for them to burn. It's just pretty much get lost now, you know. It's about the two nicest words I could possibly say to them.
So it's kind of like you're a man with no fuse rather than a short one.
Yeah. Like the fuse is gone. Oh, like they've already burned my fuse out. You know, oh, that got burnt out ages ago, and I was going like mad or something, or whatever they were trying to, you know, whatever they were trying to put my head state on. But you know, but I'm not gonna let them do this again. You know, because I'm more. I'm sort of more worse for the wear, I'm not too sure. But it's the opposite. I feel better I feel better now, than I used to be. Well, that's pretty much.
Well, it'd be hard to be as bad as you used to be, isn't it? Unless, of course, it just kept on progressively getting worse. And what I wanted to ask you was, at that moment where you tried to overdose, what was actually running through your head at the time? What made you think that that was the only way out at the time?
I was left with no one to go and see to sort it out. I was given no one to talk to or anything, except for mental health. I was given no help whatsoever. All I was given was a kick in the teeth, a kick up the ass, a shove out the door, you know. But that day I took an overdose. I was going to go down to Alexandra, and I was going to take my 22 with me. But instead, I decided because I've never killed anybody, because I wouldn't waste my soul on them, because I believe that if you kill somebody, then you actually give up your soul. You know, you get something called kill mentia or something. you kill once, you might kill again. You know, like a bug sort of thing, and I didn't want to get that, so I took the easy way out. Well, at least I thought I was taking the easy way out, but anyway, that just caused me more problems.
Like what? What more problems came about as a result?
Oh, like being, like having Dave Graves come to the hospital when I was sitting there, you know, coming this monkey boy, you know, they come over the car, you know, they say, get in the car, cunt, you know, smack my head in, push my head down, but I'm calling out for help, stomping on me, throwing, having my pants pulled down, I've been left there for like an hour or whatever, been laughed at, been thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, sort of like ankles cuffed and hands cuffed behind my back, so I was like a weeble wobble. You know, those weevil wobbles, but we don't fall down toys. I was like one of them, sort of rolling around the back. And, thrown in the nut house, but I'm pretty sane today. I'm pretty sane and onto it now.
This seems part of the agenda in general is if they can't get you to, I don't know, either give up or kill yourself, then they try to discredit you by saying, this guy's insane, he's been to the nut house, therefore don't listen to him. I mean, we were telling you not to listen to him before we had evidence that he was going to commit suicide because of all these terrible things that we've done to him. In fact, what's the rate of suicide in New Zealand? Isn't it like ridiculously high, especially for men in this country? And I believe SIFs, and the family court system is actually responsible for a significant portion of the male suicide in that case as well, because good men love their children, and to have their children taken away from them, they usually love them quite significantly, to the point where it's almost like a part of them has been stolen. Like people who get amputations and things of that nature have this what they call phantom pains, right? Your limb's not there, but you can still feel it hurting. And I think that's what a lot of fathers feel. Their child's not there, but they can still feel them hurting.
Yeah, it's like an empty void, eh? Like when my daughter was taken away because the armed offenders all turned up, and it was such number one thing to remove the child. I felt really empty while she was away. I actually felt just completely empty and alone and that sort of thing, because my babe was gone, and she was who I was trying to protect, and they wouldn't let me. Instead, they just all got their guns and legal papers and the legal forms and pretty much fucked me over.
They take away the choices from you, and in my life, Chris, the things that frustrate me the most, is when I'm forced into a situation I don't have a choice, or if the choices that are given to me are bollocks.
I've been given choices in all this legal thing. Or the choices being, either play ball, going to take your daughter, that used to be the number one rule in that game was, you do as we bloody say, or we're going to take your daughter. They use children as a weapon, mate. It's like, what screwed up mental case would use the child as a weapon to remove a child from somebody who actually was happy, and doing no wrong, eh? That was my life dream. Was to have a child. I spent years and years and years up until I have a child. Probably since I was 18, I wanted a kid. And then when I get a kid, it's like all these sick people who do deals with people who rape their children, and run kohangas, and other child groups, I just can't see how Barbara Collis can go into family court knowing that her client dated the guy who raped her daughter up until he was jailed, and her daughter now runs the kohanga with Barbara Collis as one of the admins of the kohanga, and totally fleece the judge and screw us all over, it's just totally nuts how somebody on the Treaty of Waitangi board can even do that. She shouldn't even be on the Treaty of Waitangi board. She should be locked up in a little box, mate, 6 feet underground. but that's her. But that's her business, how she gets there, because I don't have anything to do with it.
Well, let's say, for example, if you are a criminal, who do you think is far more likely to get away with a scam if you're a criminal? A criminal wearing a suit that has an official-sounding position and is a head of an organization, or a criminal that is dressed terribly, looks very disheveled, and is and actually gives the impression of being quite dangerous and untrustworthy? It's just a scam. I've found this happen time and time again. You have what are they called, knighthoods, for example. If you have a look through the long list of knighthoods that the Queen has given people, many of these people, it turns out, after being vetted by MI5 from the Queen and then being given the knighthood anyway, are pedophiles, criminals, drug runners, gun runners, that kind of thing. And so what occurs to me is that in a lot of cases, the more official you appear to be, the more corrupt you potentially are.
Oh, yeah, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. I've seen, just from this court case thing that I was going through, I can see everybody involved was dishonest and not loyal to the truth or the jobs or even to the public that they served. It's just a scam.
Right. Well, concerning this, what is your mission now? I mean, have you had any success? Have you gotten your daughter back? Are these people leaving you alone? Or is it just an ongoing thing?
We won the case, I think it was last year. Last year we won that. And, I've got my daughter. She lives with me. I'm her guardian. Like the only time she's ever been away is either to go up north on, you know, or to go keep the applicants happy, or when she was in subscue. But she lives here like 24/7, except for when she's at school. And she's happy. Oh, she's happy, and my daughter's happy, and that makes me happy. And the court case isn't going on. But any of you scumbags out there that want to do me for defamation or whatever, you know, feel free. You know, like I recommend you get a better life than doing that. But you know. No, and leave us to hell alone, you know, but at least now people know.
So how do you reckon things are going to play out? I mean, they've completely left you alone, or are they still, like, keeping tabs on you and doing door knocks now and then? You just tell them to bugger off?
They've pretty much been leaving me alone now, but, you know, but the hurt's still there, and I guess until they apologise or something like that, or something, then, you know, it's just going to be the same get lost routine, eh? Because I don't really want to even talk to them.
Are you certain that an apology would be good enough?
No, well, I thought that maybe an apology might do something, but. You know, but they haven't even offered that, and it's pretty late now for an apology. Or the damage has all been done. So, you know, I don't think I would accept the apology now anyways.
What about compensation?
Any compensation I'll give to my daughter. She's got a bank account. I put it in her account because it was her really that paid for everything to go up north and lawyers and accommodation and meals and whatever else we had to fork out to keep the courts happy, you know. It was my daughter who actually ended up really paying for all that because I get paid, and what's my money is her money as well. So, you know, and I spend my money on her, you know, but I'd rather spend it on her than on the courts, you know. You know, like food and that, though. Like, she was born 32 weeks. She was just over the weight of a pound of butter. That's how heavy she was. And with lots of love and care, she's grown into a beautiful human being. And yeah, and I ain't gonna let nobody destroy her. Yeah, like her whānau and that, hey, we were there was me and Roger Dickey. There's a Roger Dickey fishing school up in Whangamatau, somewhere up there, well, past Auckland. Me and Roger were setting up a fishing company for Tūhoe. I've got nothing against Tuhoi. I used to think that it was all Tuhois and that sort of thing. But after thinking about it and talking to people about it, it's not actually Tuhoi that done it. It's the manuals that are part of Tuhoi that did it. So Tuhoi ended up missing out on a fishing company because of all that, and it was all primed and ready to go. Oh, but then the family court papers turned up, and that was pretty much the end of that plan.
Sometimes I think just getting the bastards to leave you alone is the best you can hope for.
Yeah, that fishing business is—it's all gone now. I've actually all the stuff's on disc, and it's actually gone to somewhere. I posted it overseas, and but all the other stuff, that's all gone. It's all been burnt. I burnt it myself.
Well, why did you burn it?
I burnt it because I was scared that they would walk in and take it, because they were already trying to take my daughter, and I thought, well, this is a man's lifelong work here. I don't want them getting it. It's already on disc. So, I'm really sad that it had to sort of turn out that way, because I would have actually liked to help them out, but the family court just sort of like, they just messed up any chances, really. And I'm sorry to anybody out there that's offended or whatever, but, you know, it's just the way it turned out.
You didn't really have much of a choice in the matter, did you? Just trying to protect your daughter, trying to protect other people, and the only reason why you're doing that is because you were being attacked, more or less. Yep. Now, a lot of people talk about, don't complain, otherwise you're just a victim. I think that is just a really callous mentality. Somebody who complains and fights against the scumbags is no victim. The person who tells them just give up and don't do anything to try and get justice for yourself or anybody else, those persons are the victims, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I'm not a victim. I don't see myself as a victim. I see myself as being abused by the system, but I've sort of survived it. I've survived the worst of it, and it's just made me more cautious and wary of believing scumbags in their BS, because I don't believe anything that comes out of their mouth. And to say I'm a victim, well, it's actually my daughter and my mother and the rest of my family who I see as the victims, because it pretty much destroyed our family, which is probably what Barbara Collis wanted, because she works with children and that, so she'd like to know that children in their families don't necessarily get on. You know, she'd get a hard on over that if she knew that my family don't really talk much anymore. But yeah. It probably knocked about 10 years off my mum's life. It really hurt my daughter. She was really upset. She was confused. She didn't know where she was going, what was happening. She thought I didn't love her, because she was going, why do I got to go? I don't want to go. And I said, well, you've got a baby. And it's like big tears and all that. And I says to her, well, I'm not going to let anybody take you, babe. And like I said to the courts, you can have my daughter over my dead body, And that's pretty much where it's at.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm glad that I've given you this opportunity to tell your story. Is there anything else you want to add on to this before we wrap up?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Okay. All right, Chris. Well, thank you very much for your time, and I wish you all the best of luck and joy and company with your wonderful daughter.
Yeah, thank you, Benny.
Okay. All right, Chris Waddell, ladies and gentlemen, representative of one of the many family court cases that I've seen, which don't tend to help a lot of people. Although, of course, there are occasionally, maybe it's the majority of times where CIFS actually does something right, and only a small minority that get totally covered up because it's part of a criminal syndicate, but yeah. At least we're getting the information out there and getting the truth out there because, hey, look, if you've got a society that doesn't report the truth of what's going on, how exactly are you ever going to solve any of the problems that are in existence today? I don't think you can unless you are willing to address them. And just because something sounds scary and is terrifying and that kind of thing doesn't make it fear-mongering, doesn't make it fear porn, it makes it the truth. And the truth of the matter is, once you hear something that is terrifying and scary and really horrific and what have you, you have two choices. You can either laugh about it just in order to get rid of some of the stress that it causes you and learn how to survive, or you can do something about it. Those are the two methodologies that I pick. You know, it's either one or the other for me. Other people choose to get depressed about it or choose to deny its existence in the first place. I don't think that's a good methodology for anybody. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, can I just say one more thing?
Of course you can.
Something you were just saying a minute ago, of people who you say will get over it and sort of don't complain and that sort of thing. I've been told by people, well, why don't you leave New Zealand for? And I sort of, you know, and I think, well, I've lived here for over 30 years of my life. You know, I'm adapted to New Zealand now. You know, we moved here a long time ago, and to just move off, you know, like leaving the country would just be like avoiding, you know, like running away and just taking the problem somewhere else where it's, you know, I'm staying put and just letting people know, and that's, you know, and my daughter lives here too, and she was born in New Zealand and likes living in New Zealand, so we're gonna be living in New Zealand. Yep, that's about it.
Yeah. And even if you did leave New Zealand, where are you going to go? To CPS in the United States that has five times more likely to sexually abuse children than their parents are?
Yeah, something.
You know, or that we have 400,000 people, 400,000 children or something like that go missing in the United States every year and are never freaking seen again, 100,000 in the UK, where are you going to go? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people think that if you run, if you deny, if you stick your head in the sand and just ignore things, that for some reason they all resolve themselves. No, actually the problem will just sit there, fester, and get worse, like an infected wound, and it will wind up, shutting down the body, you know. And I think that there is an agenda in place to legalize, eventually, pedophilia. Yeah, that's what I reckon.
I can see it already with people who date guys who rape their own daughters. You know, using the system to get children. You know, that's, you know, what they're doing. In my case, then, you know, it's just a stepping stone to their scumminess.
I'll get you by hook or by crook, usually by crook. And, okay, well, let's wrap it up then. Ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind this is a listener-supported broadcast and you, the listeners, suggest the guests. So if you contact me through Facebook or the contact page on my email, sorry, on my website, theeveneareastwardshow.com, you can suggest guests. And of course, it only runs with your continued financial support. So go to theeveneareastwardshow.com and donate today, or set up some form of automatic payment, either through PayPal or through the Kiwi Bank account there, preferably, because PayPal always takes a percentage. I don't like that. Yeah, thanks very much, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
You are the only exception. You are the only exception.